So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We are in Proverbs chapter 19 as we study the Wisdom from God series from Paul Cantrell. Nice to see us all here this morning. So Proverbs 19, you know, as I was looking through this lesson again, I suddenly realized it really kind of speeds up, meaning there's fewer verses per chapter as we go through the lesson. We've got four questions about chapter 19, only one question about chapter 20, and then we go right into chapter 21. But I understand the lesson is designed to study concepts, and this is spiritual concepts number two is the lesson that we're on right now. So where we left off was question number 29, who loves his own soul? As we read, I'm going to go ahead and read Proverbs 19 just to get our minds in the right mindset here. Proverbs chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Also, it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth adds many friends, but a poor man is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Many will seek the favor of a generous man, and every man is a friend to him who gives gifts. All the brothers of a poor man hate him. How much more do his friends abandon him? He pursues them with words, but they are gone. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will perish. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a slave to rule over princes. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like the dew on the grass. A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping. House and wealth are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of conduct will die. One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not desire his death. A man of great anger will bear the penalty, for if you rescue him, you will only have to do it again. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the naive may become shrewd, but reprove one who has understanding, and he will gain knowledge. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A rascally witness makes a mockery of justice, and the mouth of the wicked spreads iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scoffers, and blows for the back of fools. That's Proverbs 19. So as we focus our attention on verse 8, and the question is, who loves his own soul? Verse 8 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he who keeps understanding will find good. Now there is a marginal reference in my translation, the New American Standard, a marginal reference for verse 8 says, the word wisdom is literally heart. I don't know if your translation says that.
Mine has footnote also.
Footnote, yeah. So, he who gets heart, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Because if it's just a replacement word,
right. Then
wisdom makes more sense.
Yeah.
So, which is why the translators put it in there, I'm sure. But he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. Well, the thing is, and of course the second half of that is, he who keeps understanding will find good. And wisdom and understanding go hand in hand. There's so much said. I'm just going to scratch the surface with a few parallel passages. But, you know, we're talking about the acquiring of wisdom. And the immediate parallel passage is back in Proverbs 9. Look at Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So, he who loves his own soul gets wisdom. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. How do you get wisdom? Well, it starts with the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, we talk about the wisdom of the world, and Paul had a lot to say about that in 1 Corinthians, about the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. The wisdom of the world doesn't even include God. So how wise is the wisdom of the world if it doesn't even start with the fear of God? But we understand that if we want to be wise and we want to gain wisdom, we have to start with the fear of the Lord, which means doing what the Ecclesiastes writer said, fear God and keep his commandments. How does God know if we love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So, moving on to 16:20, Proverbs 16:20, another parallel passage. He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. Attention to the word, that's where we get our knowledge. That's where we get our understanding. That's where we get our discretion. That's where we get our knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and discretion. We get all those things from soaking it in when we put our nose in the book and understand what he wants us to understand. Another obvious one, I guess, would be Proverbs 3, beginning of verse 5. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. So these are all passages that help us to see where wisdom comes from. Carolyn?
Verse 5 that you just read brings in the word heart, and you can see how it ties in. It just grammatically doesn't work in that other sense. But
yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
Good point. What's that?
The core of your being.
The core of your being, exactly. While we're in Proverbs 3, jump over to verse 13. I'm going to read down through 26. Proverbs 3, beginning in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all those who hold her fast. Or happy are all who hold her fast. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. These are all words that are pointing in the same direction. And the pointing in the same direction is he who loves his own soul is he who gets wisdom. So, we need to be pursuing wisdom. That's why we're studying this book. That's why we're studying through the wisdom books. chapter 8. I know it's a lengthy read, but it's worth reading. Proverbs chapter 8. In so many ways, this focusing our attention on verse 8, 19:8, is a review. You know, we're reviewing how important it is to gain wisdom. And really, that's what this whole book is about. Chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, to endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts, for he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. That's Proverbs 8. You know, it's all good, but my mind sticks on verse 17. My mind just sticks, like there's like a sticky note there. It says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. It sounds like a promise to me. You know, when the scripture says, if you do this, you get that, that's a promise. Those who diligently seek me will find me. If you're diligently seeking wisdom, you will find it. The problem is, most people don't. I mean, that really is the problem. The problem in the world is most people aren't seeking wisdom. Most people aren't seeking knowledge. Most people aren't seeking God. Most people are just seeking their own pleasures. I'm going to do what I want to do. And that's why there's the many and the few that Jesus talked about. Anyway, as I was studying this, I just said, you know, I know it's a long reading, but Proverbs 8 is just rich. It's just, we can bask in that. It's just soak in that. It's just so good. Proverbs chapter 8 is all about going after the wisdom.
I'm glad you read it because it was one of the reference that I had when I just had the whole chapter.
Yeah, same here. I wrote it down. I went, Proverbs 8, that's a lengthy reading, but it's worth it. It's definitely worth it. Yes, go ahead, Noah.
A little side note, when you were reading that, I was thinking about the global warming and all these people saying, you know, the sea, the ocean's going to rise and take out everything around, you know, the shores.
Yeah.
But as you were reading that, look, what verse is that? 28, Proverbs 9, or Proverbs 8?
Yeah,
8:29 and 30.
He said for the sea its boundary. Yeah.
When he assigned the sea's limit,
mm-hmm.
so that the water would not transgress his command. I mean, that his command, he commanded the waters a limit.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that sounds like it's not going to go any further than that.
Well,
I mean, maybe fluctuate, you know, like the ocean does, but I mean, it's not going to, you know.
I think he's making reference directly to the creation here. Because,
well, yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
but
when
I mean,
God
created the ocean, a limit. There's a limit.
Right, but the limit came when he created dry land. Because remember, when you go back to Genesis, at first this earth was a ball of water.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it's not going to get past his limit.
Yeah.
The ocean. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm saying the global warming is going to rise a bunch and take out a bunch of areas.
God's in control.
Well, yeah. But I was just reading that his limit there kind of. To me, that means his limit for the ocean. The
yeah. Well, that's a whole different discussion. But
I know that.
But,
that's what I said.
But along the same lines, you look at what happened to New Orleans in Katrina.
Flood. Yeah.
You know, it was like somebody flushed the toilet.
But that was like, yeah, that was
the
like
entire city
heavy.
Was deluged.
Yeah.
But the thing about, you know, talking about the oceans rising and covering, you know, where people are living. People have chosen to live in the wrong places many times.
Yeah.
And if they choose to live below sea level on the coast.
Yeah. That's kind of, yeah, that's man's. Yeah.
You know, I feel sorry for the people, but they chose to live there.
Right.
Maybe they were born there, so maybe they didn't choose to live there, but they lived there. And that happens all over the world. There's flooding on the coasts all over the world, but that's always been that way. That's nothing new.
No, I know that. Yeah, man chose to live in stupid areas.
So
yeah. Go ahead, LaTanya.
But the ocean is still the same.
LaTanya.
I was just thinking about when he flooded
the world.
In the world. He's not going to be that anymore.
No.
But he didn't say that he wouldn't take out a city, or I mean, a city wouldn't be taken out of body of water.
Yeah.
Like that. But he would, he submitted to
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I'm making it.
Anyway, sorry. I'm sorry.
Something else.
No, that's all right.
I'm sorry.
But glad you brought it up.
So you're thinking out loud.
Yeah. That's all right. But no, Proverbs 8 tells us that God is definitely in control and has been since the beginning, and it's focusing our attention on the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
And beginning in verse 12, it's the personification of wisdom. It's wisdom talking to us. It says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And the rest of the chapter is all about I. It's talking in first person. Wisdom is talking to me. Wisdom's talking to you.
Yeah.
And saying, you... this is what you need. And so, anyway, back to my notes. Job 28, kind of a parallel passage to Proverbs 8, is Job 28. So we jump back over there to Job. Job has a lot to say about wisdom. Job chapter 28. Another lengthy reading, but very rich and worth reading. Job 28. Job says, surely there is a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust and copper is smelted from rock. Man puts an end to darkness and to the farthest limit he searches out. The rock in gloom and deep shadow. He sinks a shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro far from men. The earth, from it comes food, and underneath it is turned up as fire. Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. The path no bird of prey knows, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. The proud beasts have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the base. He hews out channels through the rocks. At his eyes, sees everything or anything precious. He dams up the streams from flowing, and what is hidden, he brings out to the light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystal are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, with our ears we have heard a report of it. God understands its way, and he knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, when he saw it and declared it, he established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You know, it's just so profound. You know, Job just, he says, you can search everywhere you want for wisdom, and there's only one place you're going to find it. God. God is where we find wisdom. And of course, where do we find God? His word. He communicates to us the same way we communicate to each other. He uses words. So we look to his word and we learn how to be wise. We learn what it takes for us to be wise. And of course, it means be more like him because he really is wisdom. When, you know, back in Proverbs 8, I, wisdom. This is God talking to us. He's the very source of wisdom. He's where it all comes from. And that's what Job's pointing out in Job 28. I want to look a little bit, when we're looking at this verse, the second half of Proverbs, 19:8. Proverbs 19:8, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. The second half of that verse says, he who keeps understanding will find good. Now, there's a lot spoken about understanding in the scriptures as well. Proverbs 1, go back to Proverbs 1. We'll read the first seven verses of Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1 is really like setting the stage for the entire book. Because it's telling us what the purpose of the book is. Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and understanding, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Like I said, this is sort of setting the stage for the study of Proverbs. You read this and you go, oh, this is why I need to read this. Because of all the things I can gain from it. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, back in verse 2 and 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Well, wisdom isn't just something that we store up here in our noggin. It's something we practice. It's something it says behavior, wise behavior. What's wise behavior? That's the things that we do, the actions. And we talk a lot from this very pulpit about the three things that we're going to be judged by. We'll be judged by our thoughts. We'll be judged by our words. And we'll be judged by our actions. Well, that's what he's talking about, wise behavior, is how do we behave in this life? And the scriptures tell us how to do that. Jumping over to chapter 2, Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 1. Solomon says, my son, If you'll receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. I'm going to stop there. I was going to stop at verse 11, but I was on a roll. But the whole idea here is that we know where wisdom comes from. And if we study it, kind of like the verse we just read a few minutes ago, that wisdom comes to those who seek after it. If you're not seeking, you're not getting. And this verse is about who loves his own soul. Those who get wisdom, how do you get it? You have to seek after it. If you don't seek after it, you'll never get it. Now, some people say, well, you know, growing old makes you wise. There's a lot of old fools. I mean, that's just a fact of life. There are a lot of old fools. Proverbs 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Are there any old atheists? That means there's a lot of old fools. That's what that means. So, let's see, that was Proverbs. Jump over to Psalm. Let's go to Psalms. I'm going to look at 32, verse 8. Psalm 32. We read 8 through 11. Psalm 32, 8 through 11. This is a psalm of David. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or the mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. I think the point is, we're talking about understanding. We're talking about the second part of the verse, which is, he who keeps understanding will find good. So we're searching for understanding. The contrast that's made in this verse is that do not be as the horse or the mule which have no understanding, whose trappings include the bit and bridle to hold them in check. We don't want... We're not serving a God who's forcing us to obey, like a horse is forced to obey. A horse, you know, horse is trained to do what they're told. But what does it say is let your understanding be your guide. And in order for your understanding to be your guide, you have to train it. I don't know if I'm making sense. Well, we do have to be trained like a horse.
But we'll be not a horse.
The horse... Even though you have broken him to the saddle, he still doesn't read your mind and say, oh, I need to take him over here and do this or whatever. You have to keep the you keep the bit in his mouth with the reins in your hand to direct him, because he doesn't have the wherewithal that to have the same understanding that you have, whereas God is saying, I'm going to tell you this, and now you have my understanding.
Yes, which is what verse 8 says. Psalm 32, verse 8. I think I brought more than one ant with me. Psalm 32, verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We need to take the instruction from God and gain understanding by it. Because what he's saying is horses and mules, they never have any understanding. They don't need to understand. They just need to do what they're trained to do. But God is instructing.
It's where you keep food and, you know.
Yeah. But what God is saying is that we need to have understanding, and he will train us. He will instruct us so that we can understand, and we will do the right thing without being whipped. That's what horses do what they're told, because they're trained with discipline. We have a different kind of discipline. I'm trying the analogy out too late or too long. Also in Psalms 111 verse 10. Psalm 111 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. Well, that's where we get our understanding, is from obeying his commandments. But yeah, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we talked about that already, in that if you want the beginning of wisdom, you have to start with the fear of the Lord. But then what follows is a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. What Ecclesiastes finishes with, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, or this is the whole of man. And that's what he says, is the good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So by doing his commandments, we will gain understanding. That's why he gave them to us. Now Psalm 119 has got a lot to say about it, about understanding. Psalm 119, I'm going to read several different verses in here, but start with 73. Psalm 119 and verse 73 says, your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. So this is a prayer. He's saying, your hands made me and fashioned me. He's talking to God. He says, give me understanding. I mean, he's asking for it. I want understanding that I may learn your commandments. So God's spoken to us. We know what his commandments are. And we will gain understanding by doing them. That's what we just read. Now jump down to 104, Psalm 119, 104. It says, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Now those things go hand in hand. If we love God's commandments and we love God's precepts, then we automatically hate anything false, because God is truth. If we love the truth, we hate untruth. Lies.
Falsehood.
Thank you. Good word. You know, Carolyn was saying that when a kid lies in school, you can't say they lied. You have to say they told an untruth. They're being untruthful.
Sounds like you're lying.
Yes, but it's a political thing, I guess. You can't offend their parents. You can't tell their parents their son's a liar. You can say, well, he tells things that aren't true all the time. More politically correct.
It's like a bad word.
Right. But we're talking about God's word here.
Yeah.
And God's word says we shouldn't lie.
It's only a bad word because it makes them feel guilty, which they should.
Yeah.
They don't want a kid to feel shame, and frankly, shame goes a long way in changing behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
So feel it. Yeah.
So the stuff you learn is so, it make you then believe something else. Because we used to have to say, you're telling a story.
Yeah.
And it took my grandmother to come and say, no, you're telling a lie.
Yeah.
Because lie is not a bad word.
Telling a story.
Bad thing. Yeah. Bad word.
Right.
I think my grandma used to say that too. You're telling me a story. You mean I'm lying? Yeah. But the point is, you know, Psalm 119, 104, from your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, that's the natural conclusion. If from your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. I hate false teaching. I hate false doctrine. I hate anything that's not true. I hate it. Now, the next verse is the contrast. Verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. So this is how we gain wisdom. This is how we gain understanding and discernment and knowledge. All the things that we need is to put our nose in the book. Find out what God wants us to do and how he wants us to think. Now look at Psalm 119, 125. 125 says, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Again, it's a prayer. We are taught by the psalmist that this is something we need to pray for. We pray to God to give me understanding. I want knowledge. I want wisdom. I want understanding. We pray for it, and we know where to find it. So we got to put our nose in the book to get it, but he will help us. God knows how to help us. Verse 130. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Boy, what a profound verse that is. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Well, what does light do? It lights up the dark. If you don't have understanding, you're in the dark. When you unfold the words of God, it gives light. It suddenly you see things you couldn't see before. Suddenly things make sense. Because God's word does that. It lightens up our world. It gives understanding to the simple. And how many times did Mickey stand up here and say, you know, the gospel is really simple. It's not difficult to understand. It was written in such a way that we can just read it and know what it says. It doesn't mean we can't every now and then need to discuss it and, you know, come to a meeting of the minds on what this means and stuff. But God's word is not hard to understand. Pretty simple. While we're in Psalm 119, 144 says, your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Your testimonies are righteous forever. There will never be a time when God's testimonies are not righteous. Forever. And he says, give me understanding that I may live. So he's again praying to God. Give me understanding. And it'll come with a study of his word. 169. Psalm 119, 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Well, now we've got a prayer to give me understanding, but also an understanding of where it comes from. So let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. I don't want any other kind of understanding. The understanding that I want is that which comes from God. And if it comes from God, it came from his word. It didn't come from a small, still voice in the night. It didn't come from a vision of an angel. It didn't come from a false teacher or a false prophet. It came from his word. So, you got your hand up?
Maybe.
Go ahead.
To 119 also, but I had verses 9 through 16.
119. I don't know if you were done with your response. I am. 119, 9 through 16. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 9. How could a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Perfect. That's just a perfect example. Perfect illustration.
I'm thinking, shouldn't we just read all of 119?
I've done that recently. As Carolyn and I are making our yearly trek through the Bible, we just finished 119. Like, last night or two nights ago. It was last night, yeah. We've got a couple of minutes left as we're studying from Proverbs. Did you have something else, Linda? References that I don't have? Go ahead.
Well, I have some. Okay. Joshua 1:8.
Joshua 1:8.
Well, actually, I'm probably going to say this. When he's talking to Joshua, he starts in the beginning of the chapter, and it's just,
so
God is talking to Joshua now that he's going to take over for Moses. Mm-hmm.
And so
you think of 1 through 9?
You could do that, yeah.
Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far as the great sea, toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Picked out specifically verse 8 because he tells them, it's
according
to you have to keep the law and to meditate on it and study it.
The last one of the previous ones in 119 said meditate. And that's the thing about gaining wisdom and gaining understanding is meditating on it, not just reading it, but thinking about it. And, you know, what Mickey used to say, let it hit bottom. It's a fishing term. Let that sinker go to the clear to the floor of the lake. But yeah, letting it sink in, and I guess really we talk about James chapter 1 about, you know, receiving the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. Well, implanted means more than reading. Yeah. Implanted means meditating on it. I mean, thinking about it, even when you're not reading it. Even when you're not, if you don't have a Bible open, you can still be thinking about it. And thinking about, you know, what does God's Word say about this and that and the other thing, and how I should be acting and thinking and speaking. So, all right, well, are you done with the, you got some more? I know it's time. I'm just saying for next time. I'm going to leave the marker there at 29. We'll review that really quickly and then go on to the next one.